You've given us a taste of what it can yet be when the church is full. We know you have, and we know you will. And so we thank you, Lord God. Thank you for those who are gathered here today as we come together to worship you, to sing songs of praise to your name and to worship you. We thank you. Speak now, Lord, for we're here and we're listening and we need to hear from you. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Come, we invite you into this place. Come and revive us. Come and remind us. Come and comfort us. In Christ's name, amen. You know, as I get ready to begin, my sermon title is Peace Be With You. Amen. No, it isn't. It's about peace be with you. It's finding peace in midst of fear. Finding peace in midst of fear. And before I begin, I know that I said with the young people, I had said just now with the children, that we Methodist pastors, you know, an other denomination, but I'm certainly speaking for Methodist pastors, that we say yes to the call to serve God, but certainly not yes to get rich. You do know that there are many small Methodist churches that pastors are going half-time and three-quarter time or even quarter time. But it's to follow Christ. It's to do this thing that the Lord has placed on their hearts. So yesterday, I just remembered this and I didn't want to forget, they had people who are coming up. They have to go. It's a long process. It's a Methodist process. The kids asked me, why are we called Methodists? I said, because we are methodical, you know, and so we do things as a method. So anyway, yesterday there is a district board that does that, which I've said yes to be on, tried not to be on it. I used to be on it for years. But while I was there, there was a young man who came for the interview. And I'm looking at that side because Joan is near. Young man who came for an interview. They have to come for their interviews. We have to read their material. And I read the paper and I read the names of the people. Didn't even click, right, that he is a member, his family is a member of this church. Damn, didn't even click in my brain, even though I looked at it. So when he got, you know, they have to go to groups to be interviewed. It is how the boom is how it's set up at the conference level and in the district level. So they're coming in for each year they have to come up for interviews, whether they're going to go to be ordained or go to what they call a school of studies and stay local pastors but become associates. So this young man, he was very bright and very, you know, very articulate and so on. And I'm asking him questions, and I looked at his paper. He's about 22. So at the very end, you know, there were five in our group, and he went to three different groups. We're doing leadership and theology. As he's leaving, he says to me, he says, "Don't you know Joan's son and boy, Joan and Herman?" I said, "Yes." He says, "That's my grandparents." So then I looked down and I says, "And your last name is Ham." Your last name is Hammond. I didn't even click. I said, "You mean you're related to Dick? And you're going to be a pastor?" "You're related to Dick? You're going to be a pastor?" Not to pick on you. And he said, and he started to laugh, and he was very good. We've got great hope. He's very, very filled. He knew the quadrilateral. He could explain it. And he hasn't even gone to seminary yet. He's doing his undergrad, because he has to do his undergrad first, and then he's finishing up at Farmingdale. Then he'll go to seminary. But he knew about the Wesleyan quadrilateral, understood about grace and the sacraments, because, you know, I was asking some, you know, we were all asking questions. Very engaging. And so I think about that young man, and I say, he's not going in there for money. Young people are bright. You're going because you've been called by God.
Amen.
Right? He's not going in there to make, you know, because he understands. You know, when the churches get, a few pastors are making a lot more than, because they're in churches that can afford it. But he's this young man who could do anything, because he's bright, At 22, he's like an old soul. He knows stuff. You could see it. He's going in there because he heard that call. God says, come. And he said, yes. Is that amazing? So thanks be to God. So I did say to the team, I says, well, we have hope for our church because young people are coming in. Thanks be to God for that. So I just want to tell you, Dick, that one of your family members is going to be a pastor. You better start reading up on the Bible. So that was so good to know. And then there was a woman called Pizzo, and I forgot to ask her if she's related to you. But I think that's her married name. And so here we are. God continues to call us, right? And we have this text here before us. And we could truly say in this text, here we go again. I was going to give my sermon title as here we go again. Jesus is appearing again. Or we see another interpretation, another understanding of Jesus appearing. Because Luke is reporting it to his audience. And Luke is going to write it a little bit differently than what John wrote, right? But Jesus only appeared certain times. And we know he appeared to certain folks, and I'll talk about that a little bit. But we know that Jesus died, and he was resurrected on Easter Sunday, what we call Easter Sunday. And then 40 days he would travel the earth, right? As the young people would say in Sunday school, the earth. But the earth as they knew it, that part of the world, for 40 days, right? 40 days from Easter Sunday, from the resurrection to the ascension. He will ascend in 40 days, which will be coming up, right? But for 40 days, he walked among the people, walked among his disciples. And then 10 days later, after his ascension, would be Pentecost, right? Pentecost is 50. So it's 50 days from the resurrection, the Holy Spirit is going to come. And they were going to be in the upper room waiting for the Holy Spirit. We don't have to preach Pentecost yet because it's coming in May. And so the coming of the Holy Spirit. So here it is. This is during his time walking. And the Message Bible, I'm going to just give you a summary of what you heard read from the NRSV. We notice as Jesus comes into the room, they says while they were saying all this, because they were worried and scared, Jesus appeared to them and said, peace be with you. The first words he said, he didn't say, hi, how you doing? What's up? You know, what's up, folks? I wish we would know what's up in Greek, huh? What's up? I would say, what's up? How's things with your life? How is your married life? Found anybody yet? You know, whatever, whoever is there. Didn't say any of that. Still looking for somebody, Zamzam, whomever. He didn't say any of that. He said, peace be with you. Because, you know, Jesus understood, peace be with you, which is what I'm going to focus on, because you know the story about him appearing. They said they thought they were seeing a ghost, right? They thought they were seeing a ghost, and they were scared out of death. And he continued with them. He said, don't be upset, and don't let all these doubting questions take over. Because just as I had submitted to you earlier last week, the other people were doubting. The fact that Thomas is called doubting, Jesus knew that they were all doubting. They had doubts in their heart. Thomas just articulated it. He said it, right? But because we all have moments of doubt, don't we? You know, we doubt different things in different times. And then Jesus said, and because Luke is writing it, you know that Luke was a physician, right? When Paul was in prison in Rome, you know, Luke was the one when they had beaten him right before his death. Luke was the one who went to take care of Paul's when they had whipped him the last time. When you read the text, you'll see it in Acts of the Apostles. But Luke was a physician. And so Luke gets right to the body, right? He talks about it. He says, Jesus said to them, look at my hands, look at my feet, it's really me, touch me, right? And he's saying this because they think he's what? He's a ghost. And he's saying, you can't touch ghosts, can you? And the Message Bible says, look me over from head to toe. Just look at me from head to toe. A ghost doesn't have much muscle and bone like this. The NRSV says, a ghost doesn't have flesh. This is how Jesus is. Jesus did not say these big words. You notice when you read his writings, right, and the parables. The parables can be a little bit complicated, but his language is simple. Not like Paul. Paul's language can be difficult. It's rhetorical. He was a brilliant man. Jesus' language is for everybody, right? You don't have to look at a commentary when you're reading Jesus' language. You just, you know, read, and you could get it. So he says, touch me, I am. And then he said this. He showed them his hands and feet, and they couldn't believe it. And then, the Message Bible says, and then they gave him a piece of leftover fish they had cooked. Because they were eating, and they didn't make him a new meal. They gave it. And the reason why I submit to you that he took it, and he ate it before their eyes, because he wanted them to see that he was real. Them to believe that he was touchable. He wants us to believe that we can touch him too. That's why these stories are left for us. I said earlier this morning that we are the only religion that really truly has a savior who you could touch. Who you have, you could read the text and see that people touched him. And I would like to submit that as he was walking around for 40 days, I'm sure he touched the children, and he went to the marketplace and places, and people saw him and didn't even know, and he just, you know, went by, and something different happened in their lives and they didn't even know because Jesus was there. Right? That's why we could say what a friend we have in Jesus. Right? Because he is like a friend. We could call on him anytime. And so here it is. He is doing that for them to see. And we say as preachers that during Easter, we're still in the season of Easter. That's why today I'm singing an Easter song. You know, we don't get to Pentecost until Pentecost. So we're still in Easter for 40 days. 50 days of Easter, right? The season of Easter. Right? So we are still in Easter. And here we are. We always say when stories are repeated, you know, the text repeats it in the lection, we see it, that it can get difficult, because how often can you preach on and the same thing that he showed them his hands and he showed them his feet? Because they all say the same thing. All the stories in the Gospels from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John talks about the encounter, that they first encounter Jesus and they didn't recognize him, and then there's explanation about it through the scriptures, and then Jesus eats with them, and then they are enlightened as he eats with them, their eyes are open, and then they understand as they recognize him, and then Jesus exits. They all say the same thing, right? But here is something different that I want to bring before you today, is what we're looking at in this text. As we see here, Jesus returns from the dead, and he meets his disciples in different places. In the garden, the Emmaus road, the seashore, the upper room. He witnesses to them. He tells them that he is alive. And here's something I thought about last night as I was thinking through this text. That Jesus was so wonderful, he didn't send them a postcard from heaven. Could you imagine? Jesus sending a postcard from heaven that says, having a great time. Wish you were here. Can't see you now. We'll see you later. Jesus didn't do that. As I was typing, I thought of that. We could all have gotten little postcards falling out of heaven. You see how my mind works. You know, I do need help. Prayer. Pray for me. When I'm reading the Bible, sometimes I get these things. Some things I can't share with you that I get. It's just between me and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So he didn't send us a postcard. He showed up, right? Showed up himself. And he shows up among them and showed them. And so Luke's understanding of this is very simple. And do you know that during Easter, we have a wonderful service. All the churches do. We take out the great, wonderful things. We light the candles. We dress up. We got the organ is played beautifully. Today I used the word that I must have seen, the trottle. I don't, you know, there's something when she, whatever, and it sounds so great, you know. Is that the trottle, you know, you all, and the bells playing, and it's such a big deal, as it should be, right? But Jesus' resurrection in the Bible is completely contrasted to what we do. It is simple. Luke wants us to understand that it's not about the what? The bigness of it. It's the simpleness of it. There is no excitement. When Jesus got resurrected from the dead, came out of the tomb, if it had been me, I would have all of heaven there singing hallelujah. All the angels. It would be a big deal, wouldn't it? It is simple. He just shows up. The man on the road to Emmaus, he just walks up in the middle of them. They didn't even know. They were so upset, right? He comes into the house, simple. Sits down and he needs bread. Very simple. He wants us to know that. Luke wants us to know that. And Luke wants us to understand the bodily contact because he is a physician. He wants us to know that you could touch. It's all up. You could touch Jesus. You could feel him. He's with you and he'll show up for you. And then here is my point of the story now, what Jesus did. Jesus says the first thing, as I mentioned earlier, says, peace be with you. Now, what is peace? Jesus was big on saying that to folks. And I'm going to give you a little history. In John 14:27, first time we'll be seeing that in the Gospels, I believe, if my memory serves me right, Jesus says, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Right? He knew he was leaving, and he would say that to his disciples. Peace be with you. Then we see in John 20:19, it says it was the first day of the week, and at that very evening, while the disciples were together and the doors were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came among them and says, peace be with you. And then we go to John 21, it says, again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And then in John 20:26, it says, 8 days later, his disciples were once again inside, the doors locked, and Thomas was with them. And Jesus came and he said, peace be with you. This idea of peace is on Jesus' mind, isn't it? We see in Luke, our text today, while they were describing these events, Jesus himself stood among them and said, peace be with you. Peace as a noun is freedom from disturbing and freedom from, you know, and freedom from disturbing and a kind of quiet and tranquility, freedom from war. It is not just freedom from physical stuff, it's also freedom from spiritual emotions and emotions that can upset us, right? That we have in our hearts and soul. Jesus continues to say, peace be with us. And so today, I want to share with us what Jesus means by peace. For Jesus, peace is not a cliche. You know, oftentimes when I do the peace, I say, the peace of Christ be with you. Because I want you to know that I'm telling you it's the peace of Christ. Because you don't want my peace. Because my peace is trouble. My peace comes with my own trouble. Right? Your peace comes with your own trouble, right? So, I don't want your peace. I know when you say peace, you're wishing that person the peace of Christ. Because, you know, you always think you're so bad off until you hear somebody else's stuff. I don't want Ricky's peace. Frankly, I don't want Emily's peace because Emily has to take care of Ricky. You know, so we want to make sure that, you know, we know it's the peace of Christ. So here's why Jesus, what do the words peace be with you mean? It means, I'm going to break it down in three pieces. It means that you can be at peace with your past. Number one, that's why Jesus said it many times. He had to say to these disciples and these other folks because they had a heavy burden in their past. Like we all do, many of us do. Right? Some of them had abandoned Jesus. They were not at the cross. Right? And there were things they had done that he knew about. So the first piece is, peace be with you.
for the past things if you're done. Peace in the past. You know, there are people who have so much angst and so on. I was talking to a woman the other day. I was telling the church earlier. And, you know, she hasn't talked to her family in 25 years. Her mother did something, didn't do something. And she can't even remember the full story. Or maybe she did, but it just went on and on and on. And I just said, why don't you get some peace in this? Because the anxiousness that you have is not even impacting on that person. It's you. It's your heart. It's your soul. There are people who don't even speak to other people because of something they did. There's no way you can have peace that way. You gotta let it go. Let it go. Release it. Right? Let it be and keep living your life that is so short to begin with. And there's some people you talk to, they're always telling you their problems over and over. And you got to run away from them to get peace. Because it's the same problem. At least listen, I'm divorced and I've had my problem. If every Sunday I stood up in the pulpit and told you about my divorce and start to cry, wouldn't you call the bishop and says, I need help? Right? And says, Pastor, get some peace. Move on already. Right? Move on with it. Sometimes you have to separate yourself from those circumstances because it brings you no peace. So Jesus was saying to them, peace in the past. Whatever you have done, I've forgiven you. Whatever has happened in our lives, friends, whatever we have done that is stressing us, if we have ourselves have done wrong to people and it's bothering us and all of that, we need to get peace. Ask God for forgiveness and have peace. Peace in the past. Release it to the Lord. Let it be so you could live and breathe and have life. Life that is so short. Jesus Christ can help us get past the past. Right? He can. You see, our past, we're not likely going to forget our past. We're not suffering from amnesia. We're not going to forget our past. But we can what? Get beyond it so that we could live with God's help. We can have peace. So the first peace, when Jesus says, peace be with you, he was saying to them, that's why he said it often, peace. I want you to get peace, full peace. Peace for the past. And then he wants them to get what? We can also have peace with the present. Now. Peace with the present. So I'll give this little story that I gave today. I think I gave the story this morning. But I will give you this little story. So I was telling my little group, my little handful of wonderful, beloved, at 8 o'clock, that I had done my income tax late. I really don't do it. I put it all together, sent to this accountant. And I could do income tax. I do my brothers and so simple ones. But, you know, for that, you know, we're pastors and we have to pay estimated taxes and then we have to, you know, pay, you know, make sure it's all worked out and whatever you have. So I sent it to my accountant and I thought, I'm going to get something back. This is going to be great. And I am excited. So he was going to file an extension. You know, I always file an extension because he's in Jersey. I sent it to him late. But I'll wait for the money and I'm planning. Boy, if I get back this is what I'm going to be doing with it. You know, I'm getting happy. So I sent it to him by express mail because it's 15th is, I guess they have until Monday. But yes, even if you file an extension, if you owe the government, you have to pay. You have to pay. If you're getting something back, they don't send it back to you early until you file. You know that. They hold on to your money, right? So I thought, well, I could get it for the summertime. So yesterday, as I'm coming now from my wonderful class with these people who want to be pastors, I look down on my text. And he was a note from my accountant. He says, Marjorie, you owe the federal government $1,800. I said, I looked at it and my peace went. Just letting you know, I had peace and I know Jesus. But there I was. I almost pulled up. I was getting ready to drive off. So I waited because I figured I would have to pull over to calm my nerves. So I'm looking and I'm saying, I have $1,800. I owe $1,800. I owe to the federal government. He didn't say anything about the state, which I thought it was going to be more. But he says, and can I use the bank account that I have on file so you could pay them? So I could. send, tell him to withdraw it, because, you know, they have an account now. That, and I said to myself, why do I owe them $1,800? I'm a pastor. What could I be getting to owe the government? So my peace was disturbed. I had to say, the Lord be with me, so I could keep driving. I was coming from Centerport. I had to get peace in the present. Do you see what I'm saying, church? So that I could leave from Centerport to come back to Hicksville. I said, oh God, I can't believe it. I've got to give the government $1,800. And I could just hear Jesus saying, peace be with you. Peace be with you. So I used this simple story on a point that could behave. I used this simple story because there are big things that happen in our lives, right? That takes our peace, isn't there? Right? That we face in the present. This is a laughable story. And as preachers, you must make people laugh. We don't want people to weep all the time. Right? There is, you know, there are big things. We get diagnosed. We lose a job. Things happening in our lives, right? And Jesus is telling us that he's there present with us. Right? Songwriter says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future, and I know that he holds my hand. So through that, he says, we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. He walks with me and he talks with me. Right? And so we could face all the angst and all the things that happen in our lives. We could face it because we know what? Jesus is with us. Right? We're living in uncertain times, friend. People are skeptical about the future. There are prevailing attitude of fear and pessimism that's rippling throughout society. We see the war. We see the war on terrorism. We expect ISIS to do something any minute because we have bombed Syria. We know it in the back of our head that something will happen somewhere. We know that, but we have to live in the present. We know they're going to retaliate. It's just the nature of who they are. But still, we have to live in the present. With that peace, trusting in God, don't we, friends? Amen. Every day there seems to be more tension. There's North Korea. There's the Middle East. There's this, there's that. They're killing in our schools, on our street. Yet we have to get up as believers, and we have that peace that surpasses all understanding. We cannot explain that peace, but we have to get it. We know we get it from Jesus. So we could get up and put our clothes on and put our shoes on and go to work and go on trains and buses and subways and still go because we trust in the Lord, right? Peace. Their families were split apart because of political ideologies. People disagree and not agree. I say to you, friends, it don't matter what party you belong with, do not fight with your family because they believe in one thing and you believe in something else. It's a waste of time. Because if you get sick, nobody from Washington is coming to take care of you. I've checked it. Nobody on the Democrat side, nobody on the Republican side, whoever they are, the independent, you know, Ryan is not coming, you know, Schumer is not coming. If something happens to you, the only one who's probably going to show up is that neighbor living with you or that child you're not speaking to because they believe something else you don't believe. Don't let it happen, friend. Right? Because the only one we have is each other. And their families were broken up and no peace because I believe in one thing. As if these people care about you. Do they really care about us? They don't even know our names. The only one who knows our names is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And our families that love us. Peace. Let's get peace in your household. I would never ever have a fight with my daughter over political stuff. Why? I may fight her. I may have an argument over money. She's spending too much because that's changeable. That's doable. But I'm never going to not talk to her because she believes something else that I believe. Why? Because when I get old and God blesses me to do that and I got little things growing out of my chin, she'll be there to pick them out for me, to help me along. You know, these things are going to happen. Right? So we know that we got to, she'll visit me at the home, wherever she puts me, you know. Whatever happens, I'm praying. So you want to be able to understand that so you can get peace. Friends, I want you to have a good laugh today because we need that in times like these, don't we? And if you all don't think things are going to need to be picked out of your chin, just wait. You live long enough. So peace be with you, the word Jesus says. Peace in the present. He'll give us peace. You see, from the moment you're taking my money, you see, I lose my mind. Help me. Help me, Holy Spirit, please. Let me come back to the text. And the last one is peace in the future. Right? That Jesus knows exactly what was going to face those men. He knows that the future was not going to be perfect. Our future is not perfect. Right? He knows that ups and downs are going to come. Problems in different parts of our lives. But he's saying, peace be with you because I'm still going to be with you. You could call on me and I'll answer. They may give you a diagnosis and it's not so good and you're scared. But the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will be with you. It transcends common sense. Will be with you so we can find peace. We can't live in fear. So Jesus spoke peace into their lives. And then when he spoke peace into their lives, peace for the future. Peace for the future. When he spoke peace into their life, then he, as the Acts of the Apostles says, he says, then I'm sending you on a mission. Go on this mission, huh? Go what? Go tell somebody. That's what it was. Tell them about Jesus. Peter was saying, tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the peace that you have found, friends. Tell them about when you're going through. He says, I can't help you. I don't know many things, but what I can do is tell you that this Jesus will be with you. Jesus, you invite them to your church. You tell them, how do you know? Because he helped me in the past. Right? I could pray with you. You'll feel the spirit of Jesus. He says, go forth and tell them about Jesus. And Peter got up and he told him, yes, he died on the cross. Yes, you all didn't believe. Yes, he was resurrected. You didn't believe, but it's okay. He died for the sins of the world. It is okay. And his peace will be with you. We are supposed to tell people about Jesus, friends. Amen. Tell them about the peace. So we have to be like Peter and John. He says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, I give to you. I give you Jesus. I give you Jesus, freely given. Remember the man at the gate? Right, was begging for money. And he was crippled. That's in Acts of the Apostle. What a book, Acts of the Apostle. You know why Acts of the Apostle is so great? Because it's about us. Folks like you and me spreading the gospel. Called to be church. Going forth. That's what's going to start after Pentecost. God is expecting us to do something. Right? To go forth. And to do something. And so in this song, as I bring it home here, now it says, we have a story to tell the nations. Don't we have a story, friends? Huh? That will turn their hearts to right. A story of truth and mercy. A story of peace and light. A story of peace and light. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've got a story. Then the songwriter says, we've got a story to sing to the nation. We've got a story because we serve Jesus Christ. It's not just about Easter Sunday morning. It begins with Easter Sunday morning, but it should continue and continue. Oh, we've got a story. We've got a message to give to the nations, friends. And we have a Savior to show to the nations. Right? And so today I can rejoice. Now while I'm rejoicing with you and telling you about Jesus and you're rejoicing with me, do I hope that when I go back to my desk and I sit at my desk, I see a message from the Lord that says, you know, 1800 was a mistake. Does that, you know, you don't have to pay it. But I haven't heard that yet, but I'm rejoicing. Because whether or not I have to pay it, who's going to make it possible for me to pay it? Amen. And maybe if things get real bad, I just get a plate and take up an offering. Just kidding, friends. Just kidding. But the Lord Jesus Christ is with us and brings us peace. Peace in the midst of big things. Right? Peace in the midst of little things. He says, just call on me and I'll answer. And I'll show you new and mighty things. It's good to know you could call on Jesus, can't you? So when I saw that young man yesterday at 22, I thought to myself, I was 22 once. I wasn't serving in the church, but I was in church. And I thought, look at him. He's trusting in the Lord. Huh? Because the other people are a little bit older. We kind of been around a little bit, you know. Trusting in the Lord. There are going to be trials and tribulations ahead. But God will be with him. Because just like he has been with me and you, he'll be with him. Amen. And so we could grant him peace. Peace of the Lord, friends. be with you. Amen.